We tend to have a very pragmatic view of Scripture. What I mean by that is when we read something from the Bible, the question we tend to ask ourselves is, what does this tell me I'm supposed to do? The problem is that's not always the lesson. That's not always what Scripture is trying to teach us. Sometimes we are just seeing the nature and character of God. The parallel that always occurs to me is perhaps you might be with a good friend or a family member or a spouse, and you want to just know the person in order to know them better, simply for the joy of the relationship and the wonder of knowing that person a little more. And sometimes that's what the Scripture is doing. It's just letting us know a little more about this God whom we worship and whom we serve. And so when we come to a passage like the temptation in the wilderness, the normal American response is, what is this telling me about how I'm supposed to resist temptation? Jesus resisted temptation in the wilderness, so how am I supposed to resist temptation? Well, we resist temptation by quoting the Scripture back and so forth. I've preached that sermon many times. I know that lesson. Problem is, I don't think that's what Luke was on about. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. And I don't think it's recorded in order to be an object lesson for us about how to resist temptation. I think it's here to reveal us the character of Jesus and how he is going to go about his work. It's telling us something about Jesus, not us. And I think that's actually especially clear in Luke, which we read today. Now, this comes at the beginning of chapter 4. If you go back one chapter to chapter 3, chapter 3 begins with the proclamation of John the Baptist, calling people to a baptism of repentance. And then we read about, and pointing to Jesus. And then we read about Jesus coming to be baptized by John, and he is proclaimed, my son, the beloved, by the voice from heaven. And then we get Jesus' ancestry, his lineage. Of course, in Jesus' day, one was never separated from their lineage. Your ancestry spoke to your identity, to who you are. And so all of these stories are there to begin to tell us, who is this person, Jesus? Why should we care about his life? And why should we listen to his teaching? That's what that information is there for us. And then at the beginning of chapter 4, we come to the temptation in the wilderness. And following that, Jesus begins to express his identity as he goes to the synagogue in Nazareth, where he reads from the book of the prophet Isaiah and then declares, today this prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing. And first they all think he's great, and then they turn on him. You see, the temptation in the wilderness is here because it tells us something about Jesus, not because it's an object lesson for us, and about how he's going to fulfill his calling, his purposes. Remember, after all, that the temptations, our temptations don't come to us in the way that these temptations came to Jesus. Would that they did. You know, if the devil just came and talked to me and said, do this, I would know right away. Talk to the hand. I would know not to listen. Our temptations come differently. And the temptations to which he was tempted are not things we are tempted to. Have you ever been tempted to turn a stone into a loaf of bread? That's never a temptation I have faced. Never thought about it for a minute. I have never been tempted to take all the authority of all the kingdoms of the world. It's not a temptation that I have ever faced, nor will I ever face it. So what is it telling us about Jesus? About who he is? About what he's going to do? Well, don't skip over the beginning. The first thing to notice is he's been in the wilderness, led by the Holy Spirit, and he has had nothing to eat for 40 days. Now, that gives us a hint right at the beginning that Jesus is not going to be controlled by the passions and appetites of this life. That Jesus' behavior is going to be guided and controlled from somewhere else, from a different source. Not here, not here, not here, somewhere else. And the first temptation then is to turn the stones into bread. Now, if we're to be perfectly practical, there's absolutely nothing wrong with Jesus wanting bread. In fact, I bet it wasn't long before he ate some bread. The temptation wasn't the bread. The temptation was to use his divine authority to shortcut human need, to bypass human appetites and sufferings, to use that authority to not quite be fully human, to not quite experience what we experience. Jesus performed many miracles that on one level you could argue bypass the normal processes that we are accustomed to. But notice that Jesus never, never used a miracle to satisfy his own need. That's not part of what we find. And so what's being promised to us, what's being presented to us, is a Lord who doesn't bypass our needs and wants and pains and longings and appetites, but instead embraces them, owns them, lets them be a part of his experience. Jesus is not presented to us as a God who stands apart from us, who uses his position and authority not to suffer through the things we do. You know, that's what a normal king does, right? A king uses their authority to avoid the sufferings of the peasants as far as they are able to surround themselves with luxurious clothing, with delicious food, without the need for manual labor, all of those things. Jesus will not be that kind of Messiah. In fact, it's actually a quite radical vision of God. The notion of a God who would actually deign to become like us was unheard of in that day. That was seen as, you know, even if one of the Greek gods would come and appear to us in some kind of human form, they didn't give up their godness. But Jesus comes to us as one of us, fully one of us. He doesn't shun our pains and our losses and our appetites, but experiences them all. Because in the end, it's not about the power that Jesus has. It's rather about what he does among us, his service among us. The next temptation is the temptation to power, to authority over all the kingdoms of the world. Now, again, that has already been promised to Jesus. Now, for you and me, that might be sinful arrogance to desire authority over all the nations of the world. But for Jesus, it's not. We've been told that it is his to have. The temptation, once again, is to take a shortcut, to bypass us, to bypass our humanness, to bypass being a part of us, and to take it in some other way. And Jesus' response is the priority isn't the goal, isn't the authority. The priority is the worship of God. Because remember, that was the response to the temptation. Thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So I can't even temporarily, even for a moment, worship something else in order to get even that which seems like a good and right thing. You see, the reminder of both of these temptations is even that which is dangled in front of us, which is a good and just and right thing, cannot be pursued by ungodly ways. If we are going to learn anything from the temptation in the wilderness, it is that we don't pursue God's purposes by ungodly means. We pursue God's purposes by the means that He lays out before us, never by another, even if it seems shorter and quicker and easier and more direct. We pursue God's purposes in God's ways. And finally, the temptation to prove Himself, to prove His identity. In fact, much of Jesus' ministry had the impact of showing who He was, of demonstrating who He was as the Son of God, as the Messiah. The temptation, again, was to take a shortcut, to take the easy route, to not walk the difficult path with us in order to get to something else. Instead, Jesus does the work of God and leaves it to us to look at it, to see it, and to draw the conclusion of what it means about His identity. The temptation in the wilderness demonstrates for us that Jesus' identity is to be found in God, His purpose is to be found in God, His method is to be found in God, and in nothing else. And therefore, this is the conclusion Luke intends for us to draw, therefore, He is the one to whom we can listen. He is the one to whom we can trust our souls. He is the one whom we can count on to take us to God in the end, because He's not doing a shortcut. He's not the taxi driver that promises, I know a great shortcut to get there. He is the one who will take us there, take us to God by the means and ways of God. And therefore, we can put our absolute trust and confidence in Him. And that's what the temptation in the wilderness teaches us. Amen.